Welcome to Newcastle Libraries Reel. This is our children's series. Newcastle Libraries can be accessed from wherever you live with the Newcastle Library app. Put borrowing at your fingertips. I invite you to close your eyes and imagine. Imagine that there are no buildings, no roads, no cars, just the trees, plants, animals, and the very first storytellers of this land, the Awabakal and Worimi people. So I acknowledge them as the traditional custodians of this beautiful land in which we live.
Welcome to our podcast series for families, Chats with fabulous children's authors and illustrators. I'm Karen Eastwood, and each episode I will chat to authors and illustrators who are connected to this creative city of Newcastle.
I love all the books. Probably grab chapter books because I'm really into them.
And the reasons I like reading is because it's enjoyable, relaxing, and interesting.
Welcome to Newcastle Libraries Reel. This series is called Chats with fabulous children's authors and illustrators. My name's Karen Eastwood, and I'm fortunate to have in the studio with me Jess Black, the author of the Mr. Walker series. Welcome to Chats, Jess.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. So we'll get started by asking you for some ideas about your inspiration. Where did you get your inspiration for this volume and about the series in general?
Well, the Mr. Walker series is actually based on a real dog. A dog named Mr. Walker who lives in the Park Hyatt Hotel in Melbourne. Now, there's something rather wonderful and troublesome about having a dog living in a fancy hotel. And I particularly like stories that are filled with lots of trouble and fun, with all sorts of things going wrong. And Mr. Walker in a Fancy Hotel is basically a recipe for disaster.
Yes.
In terms of a fictional series. The real Mr. Walker is terribly well behaved, actually, but his fictional counterpart is continually getting into trouble and doing his best to get himself out of trouble.
Yeah, but he's very endearing.
He's very lovely.
Yes, you can understand why everyone loves him. And what do you love about writing a series?
Well, the fabulous thing about writing a series is that I get to spend lots and lots of time with my characters, and we get to have lots of different adventures together. So I get to know them really, really well. And I love that. I get really, really quite sad when I do finally get to the end of a series. But at least we've spent lots and lots of time together.
Yeah. And I suppose it's fun putting your character in those different situations to see how they react and what reaction they'll get from other characters in the story as well.
Exactly. And there's more opportunity, I think, for growth within the characters.
Mm. Mm. So what feedback do you get from your readers about Mr. Walker books?
It's very nice to be able to say that this series has been beloved by one and all. Mm-hmm. I've had parents of really little kids who can't read yet and have had Mr. Walker read to them, and they've loved the stories, particularly loved the beautiful illustrations. But I've even had a woman from New Zealand write to me, and she's 98.
Oh, wonderful.
Sent me a handwritten letter telling me how much she adored the world of Mr. Walker. So I can honestly say 0 to 99 have loved the series.
That's fabulous. Not everyone can say that.
No.
Just a few general questions about you as a reader as well as a writer. What was your favourite book as a child and why?
A book called Fly By Night, mm-hmm, by K.M. Paynton. And basically I was a mad horse girl, mm-hmm, and read absolutely every book there was about horses, fictional and non-fiction. And this story was about a little girl whose family was quite poor. She couldn't ride and there was absolutely no way she was going to get a horse. Mm-hmm. But she managed to save up some of her pocket money and found this totally downtrodden horse called Fly, mm, and managed to keep him in her back garden and all of sorts of completely impractical things, but taught herself to ride, and together the two of them just formed such a strong bond. And she did go on to be able to make friends with other horsey people and ride in gymkhanas and all sorts of things. But I just loved the very improbable beginning, but through sheer grit she managed to have this wonderful relationship with Fly.
And that left an impression on you then?
Well, I was the little girl really wanting a horse of my own. So and she could do it, anyone could.
Yeah, and I can imagine you thinking about ways in which you could fit a horse in your back garden as well, probably.
Well, I did, and I made my poor dog a series of jumps in the back garden that she was forced to jump over, and a felt saddle and bridle. And anyway, the good news is I did end up getting a horse, so I drove my parents crazy until they finally...
Dream come true.
Yeah.
So what are you working on now, Jess? What's your latest project?
I'm working on two series at the moment, actually. Mm. One is called Kitty is Not a Cat, and it's actually based on a real animation series which screened on Channel 7 last year, with the second series in production at the moment. And it's about a little girl called Kitty who thinks she's a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful imagination. She turns up in a big old dilapidated mansion where a family of cats live, and she basically stays. Mm. Now, they're completely thrown because they have a no humans policy and they know not the faintest thing about how to raise a little girl.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's a great role reversal there with the cats trying to teach Kitty how to be human, but they continually get it wrong. And the other series is actually about horses.
Ah, so you've got plenty to draw on, I'm sure.
Yep, it's very much based on my childhood in Brisbane at Pony Club and all of the adventures that I had there, and that's called Pepper Creek Ponies.
Fabulous. Oh, well, we look forward to having a look at those when they come out.
Hooray!
So tell us, Jess, why do you think Newcastle is a great place for writers and illustrators?
I think Newcastle is an incredibly supportive place for creatives. Mm-hmm. We've got a really vibrant community. And not only is there lots of support for myself with other writers, illustrators and industry bodies, but we live in such a beautiful place. Mm. And the fact that it's not too far for us to go to the beach or out into the bush, I think really, really helps, particularly helps me in particular with my writing.
Mm.
Everything's so close by. I think we're very, very lucky to live here.
Yeah, that perfect blend of play and work and connection as well with people and the environment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Reading is fun with friends.
Well, in my house, I go to read either in my bedroom or on the couch.
Thank you for tuning in to Chats with fabulous authors and illustrators. Use your library membership to access our online children's stories at Storybox, RB Digital and Borrowbox. You might like to visit one of our branches or book the kids in for a program. You'll find lots of information at the Newcastle Library's website, newcastle.nsw.gov.au/library.
So, Jess, are you ready for our quick fire five?
Shoot.
So I'll ask you the question and you need to respond probably best with a sentence rather than a single word answer, just so we get a bit of an idea. And your questions are dogs or cats?
So a really tough question, impossible to answer, going with both.
Okay, best beach?
I absolutely love Burwood Beach and lots of walks down to the lagoon down near Burwood. Yep.
Beautiful. Favourite dessert delight?
I am rather partial to a creme brulee.
Oh, yes. Mm.
Particularly a traditional one.
Mm-hmm. Do you write with a pen or on computer?
I use both. So I will start with a pen while I'm nutting out ideas and doing a bit of planning.
Mm-hmm.
And once I feel like I have something reasonably solid, I will hit the computer.
Favourite illustrator?
My favourite illustrator is Alison Lester.
Mm-hmm.
I have all of her books. My children have loved her books. I love the incredible detail and also her particular love of both people but also the natural world.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. She really captures also that whole Australian feeling as well, I think, in the imagery and through her own experience growing up as well.
Yeah, there's something very warm about her images.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So we would love to ask you if you would read a short extract from your Mr. Walker book, which we have here in front of us. The beautiful picture on the front with him and his profiteroles, his croque
mouche. I would love to. So I'll be reading from Mr. Walker and the Dessert Delight.
Oh, lovely.
Now, there's all sorts of mischief already happening. We have two chefs at war, and Mr. Walker's caught in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Later that morning, Mr. Walker and Thomas were busy sorting the deliveries for the party. Mr. Walker stood guard over the contents while Thomas loaded crates and boxes into a trolley to take into the hotel. There were boxes upon boxes of decorations, fresh linen, and gourmet ingredients for the grand dinner. "I have to say, Mr. Walker," Thomas puffed, returning from his fifth trip carting supplies. From the footpath to the foyer, "I'm glad that 20th anniversaries only come around once every 20 years. His cheeks were flushed from the effort. Mr. Walker flashed him an encouraging smile. All of the staff were going above and beyond to make sure the event was a success. Thomas took a sip of water and glanced down at his newspaper. "By the way, I finally figured out that word we were stuck on." Mr. Walker's ears pricked up. He remembered it was a 13-letter word for an iconic French dessert. He had thought of éclair and crème caramel, but neither of those words were long enough. "It's a croquembouche," Thomas declared triumphantly. "I asked Remy and he got it straight away. Apparently it's his favourite dessert. It's made up of a tower of profiteroles that are piled into the shape of a cone and bound together by threads of spun sugar. Doesn't that sound divine?" "Divine indeed," thought Mr. Walker. "It sounded positively scrumptious. Right, back to work. You're in charge, Mr. Walker." Thomas grunted as he tilted the trolley onto its two rear wheels and pushed off. "I'll be back in a jiffy." Mr. Walker was intrigued by the pile of assorted containers, from cardboard boxes to straw baskets. He sniffed them, trying to guess their contents. He could smell nougat and marzipan, various ground nuts, as well as chat potatoes, black olives and parsnips. His tummy grumbled at the thought of all the dishes they would make. Catching a whiff of rose water and freshly whipped cream, Mr. Walker looked up to see Greta Schmidt approaching. She was wearing a gingham skirt and a hot pink blouse, complete with sky blue kitten heels. "Guten Tag, Mr. Walker." She waved and hurried over to give his ears a hearty ruffle. "I will take this teensy-wincy box inside myself," Greta said, plucking a tiny pink carton from the pile. "No need to mention this to Thomas or Remy," she added with a wink. "What is Miss Schmidt up to?" Mr. Walker wondered as the woman trotted off. He hoped he wouldn't get into trouble for letting her take the box. She was a very special guest after all, and it was a very small box. Surely there would be no harm done. As soon as Greta had disappeared, Remy appeared on the scene. The French chef was as unlike Miss Schmidt as it was possible to be. While she was all colour, he was always dressed in his chef whites. Where she was blonde with pale skin, he had short black hair and olive skin. Remy's eyebrows didn't dance when he talked. They were solid and steady like Remy himself. But Mr. Walker had always liked and respected the man. He kept his kitchen clean and efficiently run, and his staff respected him. "Bonjour, Mr. Walker," the Frenchman said with a nod. He paused to scan the load of supplies. "You are well, yes?" "Very well indeed, thank you," Mr. Walker wagged his tail. It was rare to see Remy outside his kitchen. "Aha!" Remy's eyes lit up as he spotted a bright purple container. He plucked it from the pile and held his finger to his lips. "Just between us, s'il vous plaît, Monsieur Walker?" Growing unease, Mr. Walker wondered what was going on. Why were Remy and Greta sneaking supplies, and why, oh why, was he stuck in the middle?
Wonderful. Thanks, Jess. I'm feeling quite hungry after all those delicious scents that you described.
Absolutely.
Well, we look forward to reading more of Mr. Walker and all of the new books that you've described that you've got coming up. So thank you so much for coming in and joining us in Chats.
Thank you, Karen. It's been a pleasure.
I love Australian authors.
Thanks so much for listening to Chats with fabulous children's authors and illustrators. Rate and review us wherever you listen to keep our story going.
This has been a Newcastle Libraries Real production.